Good morning, and welcome to the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. It is Monday, April 15th, 2024. It's also tax day. So if you have not got your taxes in, you might want to do that today before the day ends out. That is your public service announcement for the day. This is the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. I am your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott. And as always, I thank you so much for taking the time to download, subscribe, listen, pass along information that you may hear from this that may be of value to others and all those kind of things, because that's why I do this. How do we keep people protected? Because there's a lot of cyber news that goes on all the time, and this is not all of it. This is just the ones that I think are interesting to me largely, and that I hope are interesting to you, and that I can kind of comment on and make sense of, so that you are better protected in this crazy cyber world that we live in. So with that PSA out of the way, let's get right into the articles for this Monday, because needless to say, over the weekend, the cybercrime issue did not resolve itself, so here we are. From the Register, Dan Robinson reporting, Microsoft breach allowed Russian spies to steal emails from the U.S. government. Now, the first point of this should be no duh, but okay. The U.S. government's Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, warns that Russian spies who gained access to Microsoft's email system were able to steal sensitive data, including authentication details, and that immediate remedial action is required by affected agencies. Why it took them this long to say that, I don't know, but okay. In this emergency directive dated April 2nd, but only just disclosed, CISA warned that state-sponsored operatives had managed to exfiltrate email correspondence between federal civilian executive branch agencies and Microsoft itself following the breach of the Redmond's internal systems reported last month. The culprits, known as Midnight Blizzard, but also known as Cozy Bear, who we may remember from the 2016 election, were able to glean information that was shared between customers and Microsoft by email, including authentication details. According to CISA, these are now being used to attempt to gain access to other systems, including those of Microsoft customers. No kidding. In response, Emergency Directive ED2402, hey, only the second one of this year, issued by CISA, requires federal agencies to wade through and analyze the content of exfiltrated emails, reset any compromised credentials, and take additional steps to ensure authentication tools for privileged Microsoft Azure accounts are secure. Now, the point, first point here I would make is everyone in the federal government at this point should reset their credentials, change them, which means change your password. And perhaps, how about setting up some multi-factor authentication? That'd be a good plan. Assuming that may be already the case, I don't know. Again, it's been a while. So when I was with the Bureau, we had some kind of multi-factor authentication. Not sure how effective it was, but this is a story that is not going to go away anytime soon. And it should not be a big surprise to the government that nation-state actors are looking for your information. It should not be a surprise to Microsoft that they would be looking for this information. And the fact that Microsoft was unable to stop this really creates an issue in the sense of where are we at with cybersecurity in this world. I mean, it's still the responsibility of the corporation owning the data to protect it in a way that does not cause issues for the victims who are ultimately have their data stolen. But here we are. I mean, not a surprise. There's going to be a couple more articles even today we'll talk about that are similar to this. But, if you have Microsoft account, change your Microsoft password just from a safety perspective, even if you're not even included in this, how do you know? Because they could come back in a month and say, oh, hey, by the way, if you're a Microsoft user in general, all your data was stolen too. So I assume it is and change it now. More from CISA, darkreading.com. Jai Vijayan reporting, CISA's malware analysis platform could foster better threat intelligence. Now, I picked this one out because I hope this is the case, but let's see more about it. Now, just how the government differentiates its platform from similar private sector options remain to be seen, and that might be the key point of this whole article. CISA has given organizations a new resource for analyzing suspicious and potentially malicious files, URLs, and IP addresses by making its malware next-gen analysis platform available to everyone earlier this week. The question now is how organizations and security researchers will use the platform and what kind of new threat intelligence it will enable beyond what is available via VirusTotal and other malware analysis services. So these services like VirusTotal, let's say you get a phishing email and it asks you to click a link. You can copy the link without clicking it, copy it, put it into VirusTotal, and it'll tell you if it's malicious. It'll give you information on it. I assume this is what CISA's tool is doing as well. Do we need another one? Well, if it's easier to access, if it's more not known, right, then maybe great. Maybe my opinion on all this is the more threat intelligence capabilities you have, the better. That just makes cyber leaders better cyber leaders because they have the ability to do intelligence collection and understand the threats targeting you so you can assess your risk. More from the article, the malware next gen platform uses dynamic and static analysis tools to analyze submitted samples and determine if they are malicious. It gives organizations a way to obtain timely and actionable information on new malware samples, such as the functionality and actions a string of code can execute on a victim system, CISA said. Such intelligence can be crucial to enterprise security teams for threat hunting and incident response purposes. So yeah, it has all that stuff, and that would be great. I hope it works. It does say they rolled out the platform last October, have 400 registered users from various U.S., state, federal, local, tribal, territorial government agencies, have submitted samples for analysis to Malware Next Gen. Of the more than 1,600 files that users have submitted so far, CISA identified about 200 as suspicious files or URLs. Now, a couple questions here. Are they relying on limited data from limited resources? That's a problem. They should get it from wherever they can. They should work with other entities like VirusTotal to share that information. The problem is VirusTotal is in business to make money. So this is obviously a free service, which you should utilize. Doesn't sound like it's very far along. So how, you know, great it is, don't know. It can only get better. Let's be honest. It can only get better. So hopefully it does. This will be barren watching to see, is it effective? Is it managed correctly? Does it give out good information? Are people protected from it? So we'll see. From the good news file, darkreading.com, this is the staff reporting. Zambia busts 77 people in China-backed cybercrime operation. So yay for them. Phony call center company conducted online fraud and other internet scams. Law enforcement in Zambia this week raided a Chinese company that hired unsuspecting young Zambian citizens purportedly for positions at a call center that instead was a front for cybercrime and money laundering. The so-called Golden Top Support Services company directed the employees with engaging in deceptive conversations with unsuspecting mobile users across various platforms such as WhatsApp, Telegram, chat rooms, and others using scripted dialogue. Sounds like cryptocurrency theft, like a pig butchering. What else does it say here? It says that a recent rise in bank fraud in Zambia raised alarms and led authorities there to investigate and ultimately raid the company. Banda said the illicit operations extended beyond Zambia's borders, including victims in Singapore, Peru, the United Arab Emirates, and other parts of Africa. So this is a regionalized scam. Authorities found some 13,000 SIM cards, 11 SIM boxes for disguising the caller's location and firearms, and 22 Chinese citizens were arrested. Banda said Zambian workers were charged and released in order to cooperate in the investigation. So, good for that. I hope it leads to more like this. Now, I hope that Zambia, maybe they're a little rougher on their people when they arrest them who are doing bad things, and I would not hate to see bad things happen to these bad people, but we'll see. Hopefully this again gets more news and has more success with things like this down the line. More from the good news file. This is bleepingcomputer.com. Sergey Gatlin reporting, ex-Amazon engineer gets 3 years for hacking crypto exchanges. Former Amazon security engineer Shakib Ahmed was sentenced to 3 years in prison for hacking two cryptocurrency exchanges in July 2022 and stealing over $12 million. Now, let me say this before I even go any further into this particular article. He stole $12 million. He's getting 3 years in prison. If you go into a bank with a gun and you steal $600 from a bank, you're going to do 20 years in prison. This is where our laws kind of suck because they do not take into account the laws. Now you can say, well, like he just stole cryptocurrency. No one was really victims. Yeah. People had $12 million in crypto exchanges. They had it stolen. They were victims. So again, the laws, I mean, this is why there's so much cybercrime issues because the risk is low. The reward is high. More from the article. Ahmad was also sentenced to 3 years of supervised release in order to forfeit $12.3 million and pay restitution to the two hack companies. Mm-hmm. The breached entities are Nervana Finance, a decentralized crypto exchange, and an unnamed exchange on the Solana blockchain platform that Ahmed hacked using his smart contract reverse engineer and blockchain and audit skills. So, again, good. Someone got arrested. Someone's going down. And there's information on this on how they found him, how they arrested him. If you want to read it, I don't need to get into details on that. But, again, good news. Here and there is always good. Again, more good news. Also from Bleeping Computer, Bill Tolis reporting this one. Firebird rat creator and seller arrested in the U.S. and Australia. Oh, creator and seller. So the creator in US and the seller in Australia. Okay. A joint police operation between the Australian Federal Police and the FBI has led to the arrest and charging of two individuals who are believed to be behind the development and distribution of the Firebird remote access Trojan, later rebranded as Hive. Hive aren't among the most widely recognized and deployed rats out there, but they could still have impact using on users' security worldwide. Firebird also used to have a dedicated site that promoted it as a remote administration tool. However, the homepage features such as stealthy access, password recovery from multiple browsers, and elevation of privilege through exploits, which communicated the intended message to prospective buyers. The law enforcement investigation, which began in 2020, led to the apprehension of an unnamed Australian man and Edmund Chakamayakachin. Boy, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that name. A resident of Van Nuys, California, known online as Corruption. Now, the first problem here is you shouldn't do cybercrime in the U.S., people. We're going to find you. FBI is going to find you if you're doing bad things. But here we go. So success. Good job, FBI. The Australian Federal Police alleges that the Australian developed and sold the rat on a dedicated hacking forum, enabling other users who paid for the tool to remotely access victims' computers and perform unauthorized activity. What did this guy, the indictment alleges that Chakamayakachin, sorry, I can't pronounce his name, it's weird, promoted Hive stealthy access to target computers to an undercover FBI agent to whom he sold a license. Good job, buddy. It's good when they're stupid. In a separate case, a buyer clearly told the seller his goals were to steal $20,000 of Bitcoin and $5,000 worth of documents, leaving no doubts about the intention to use the tool for legal activities. Needless to say, he's pled not guilty to the charges, but he will ultimately, my guess is he will plead guilty. The maximum sentence is 10 years in prison, and it'll be decided by a judge assigned on June 4th. And this is, I mean, it hasn't gone to trial yet, but at least he's been arrested. So again, thumbs up. It's good things when success happens. CSOonline.com, Lucian Constantine reporting, attackers exploited a critical zero-day flaw in Palo Alto Network firewalls. That is not at all good. Network security vendor Palo Alto Networks released mitigation instructions for an actively exploited vulnerability in PAN-OS, the software that powers its next-generation firewall products. The company is still working on developing software patches. The vulnerability, tracked as CVE-2024-3400, is described as a command injection issue and is located in the Global Protect feature of PAN-OS. Successful exploitation allows unauthenticated attackers to execute arbitrary code with root privileges on the system. That is the crown jewel for any hacker. It has a maximum score rating of 10 within the common vulnerability scoring system, meaning it's very, very, very bad. This issue is applicable only to PAN-OS 10.2, 11.0, and 11.1 firewalls, with the configurations for both Global Protect Gateway and device telemetry enabled. So you can mitigate it, the company plans to release hot fixes to address the flaw on April 14th, which was yesterday. These patches are numbered such and such. So if you have a Palo Alto firewall, update that sucker. Even if you're not included in the group, update it anyway, because chances are they're going to find other stuff going on down the line. It does say limited active exploitation of the vulnerability in PAN-OS. Palo Alto said it's aware of a limited number of attacks that are exploiting the flaw. This is what anyone would say, that is limited indication, but we will see more as we go forward. And again, they're a cybersecurity company, should know better, should know how to do these things, but there's often a rush to put the hardware out with bad software, and that is always going to be an issue. Not to say that they knew the software was bad, or even that if they did software checks, the independent companies that did that were able to find it. But bad guys are always going to find those 0 days, and they're going to do bad stuff with it. Lastly, from InfoSecurity Magazine, this is Kevin Poriolt reporting, CISA urges immediate credential reset after the SciSense breach. CISA has disclosed a breach affecting business analytics provider SciSense, and urges customers to reset their credentials. Why they should have to say that, I don't know. It's for any data breach. If you have an account, you should always reset your credentials. But I will say, for CISA, they have much better public relations and media outreach than the Bureau and all that other stuff. So you always hear about CISA, but I mean, that's a different topic for a different podcast. It does say the agency is collaborating with private industry partners to respond to a recent compromise discovered by independent security researchers impacting SciSense, a company that provides data analytical services. So, talked about this last week. SciSense has not publicly confirmed or addressed the breach, but we obviously, here we are. There's more to this article if you want to look at it, but if you're a SciSense user, reset your credentials, as always. That's going to do it for today. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen. If you have questions, thoughts, or comments, email me, Darren, at the cyberguy.com, or you can also find me on LinkedIn, Substack, all that kind of stuff. As you go through your day, know that knowledge is protection. If you understand the threats targeting you, you can assess your risk, proceed wisely. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day. There's going to no outgoing bumper here because I'm running up on time. So have a good Monday. We'll talk again on Wednesday.